the internet, and welcome to season 12, episode 2 of Das Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For January 3rd, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka Jack. I want you to paint me like one of your French girls. Courtesy of Dale Chaplin, sort of. And I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Hey, yes, it's your boy, Ainsley Maitland, Miles of Gray. Thank you for that really hard tongue twister of AKA Marcus Mangan out there, I think in the UK, or maybe not. But anyway, that's a shout out to one of my favorite Arsenal players, young players. Anyway, that's a long-winded intro.
Dale Chaplin gave me a hang on, or never let go, Jack, but I feel like I wanted you to paint me like one of your French girls is the more known.
Oh, so
Titanic
you altered
quote.
It. You took some liberties.
Okay. Tweaked it a little bit.
Okay, okay.
Punched you up, Dale, but Dale, it was a great idea. I love it. And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the funniest people working today. I always say he's like one of the only names that I looked up immediately when I heard him on Comedy Bang Bang. He is the hilarious host of one of our upcoming podcasts, Culture Kings, Carl Tart.
Oh boy!
There he is.
Oh boy! My favorite soccer player is Daniel Sturridge.
Oh, former, well, he still is at Liverpool, but yeah, you like Studgy?
I only like it because he was on the BET Awards.
Oh, he was?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you only know him from being on the BET Awards and that he played soccer?
Yeah.
Have you seen him do his goal dance celebration?
Nah,
is
that?
It's real goofy.
Yeah.
It's like it looks like, you remember in the Chappelle show where that one dude in the background would always do the robot,
oh, the robot?
Randomly?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's sort of like that. But shout out to Daniel Sturridge.
Yeah.
Carl.
Huh?
What's something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Let me check. SimCity 4 Green Meddlers. Now, here's what this is for.
Wait, what?
Okay.
SimCity 4?
SimCity 4.
I was just saying we need more gaming on the show, so here we go.
It's a couple years old. So when you start a city, pollution happens because you have to have an industrial area and stuff like that. But you got to set up water. Everywhere needs water. So there's water pumps in the industrial areas because the industrial places need water.
Mm-hmm.
So these, what they call green meddlers, which are like Greenpeace type people, come and like shut down water pipes and that, like, because of pollution and stuff like that. And that turns
They're meddling.
Yeah.
With the okay.
Yeah,
gotcha,
yeah.
Got you.
And so that, like, interferes with all the other water in the city.
Right.
So, like, in residential areas and stuff like that, they don't have. So I was Googling trying to find on, like, boards, like, how to stop these niggas. They, like, they pissing me off because, like, that alert keeps popping up because it's like an emergency. Like,
right.
The water shut down. Even though it's not that serious, it's like when you turn on your, when you turn the timing, the speed of the game all the way up, like it does it faster because. But I'm like, I'm trying to get more money. I'm trying to build my city up. I'm trying to have a metropolis.
It's kind of like an anti-environmentalist message, sort of. Like,
yeah.
Greenpeace is just a pain in the ass.
Yeah, and that's what they're
green meddlers. Yeah. They're just meddling with.
They literally say
industry.
In the little thing, like, what's wrong with a little pollution?
Right.
Like, they say that in the thing, like that's. So this is what city planners are saying, like in places like Flint.
Right.
It's not that bad. We have to save the better water for Grand Rapids. I don't know. Where is near? I don't know.
What's something that
I just like that. SimCity 4. You know, that game came out in 2003.
Yeah, dog.
It's a couple years old.
Yeah, bro.
I know you just said a couple years old, so I was like, oh, shit. We're only at 4? And then I was like, oh, 2003. So you're still playing it?
I'm still playing it.
I've used to fuck hard with SimCity 2000.
Yeah.
When that came out. Because also I use the Mad Chico, Porn Tips, Gazzardo, and you just play ARDO, ARDO, and then just fill up your money. And, you know, because I don't like to play by the rules.
Yeah, I'm playing it straight up, man.
To me. What did you just say?
You could type certain things on the keyboard in the game, and, like, that was a cheat code. So, you preface it with, like, I think it was, like, it was some weird. I'm pretty sure it's Porn Tips Gazzardo or something.
You
like
said
that.
Cheat code, and
cheat code.
That makes sense. I thought you said something Chico. I was very confused.
Yes.
Oh, Jackie, not up
Chico
on the new lingo?
Yeah.
Man, this shit was hella Chico, bro.
Yeah.
Carl, what's something that's overrated?
Overrated. I'm gonna say Logic, the rapper, is overrated.
Uh-huh.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Mr. 301.
Yeah.
Wasn't that his like handle, Logic 301 or something?
He's cool, but. I needed something quick, guys. don't at me.
Yeah.
You're a big Logic fan.
Well, what was your first instinct of why he's overrated?
Just because I listen to his music and I'm like, oh, yeah, people really give him credit for like being a dope ass rapper in this era of mumble rap and stuff like that. And I'm like, he's not that tight.
I mean, he's a decent lyricist.
Yeah.
He's not coming with like the straight up mumble bullshit.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's okay. I like a couple of his songs, but the one that's like real popular that has like the suicide hotline.
I just want to be alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just want to be alive. Yeah. I like that too. I got to be honest. Sometimes I like the hook of it.
I just saw G-Eazy for the first time on the New Year's Eve, like countdown.
Right.
That dude's not great.
He's a fan favorite of like people who don't really know rap.
Yeah. Right.
I feel like.
Right.
Like I don't feel any like real hip hop heads are like, yo, G-Eazy.
Right.
Check him out. And I feel like people flame him constantly on like Twitter.
Oh, do they?
They say he looked like a bad guy of like some Pixar film. I forget what it was.
He does.
But like he kind of has that vibe.
What's something that's underrated?
Underrated. In the same genre of Muzak, I'm going to say Young Thug is underrated.
All right.
I do think he gets hate because he is a crazy person. But when you listen to what he's saying, first of all, don't take this out of context. Because when you listen to what he's saying, most of the time, it makes no cohesive sense.
Right.
But I think he freestyles his shit. Like, I heard that he draws pictures on, like, a pad and then takes that into the booth and just kind of rides the beat. And he changes his voice. I've been listening to Beautiful Thugger Girls, the mixtape, a lot recently because it's just a song on there that I just keep playing over and over again called Do You Love Me? And, He's good, man. He says some crazy, shit. Like, and it's
he sounds like a rapper who's bringing a drawing into the booth.
Yeah. And it's like, you kind of got to respect that creatively. Like, he's on some other shit. And it's a lot of, like, he reverts back to, like, eating pussy a lot. That's usually, like, one of his, like, consistent punchline.
Right.
But,
which is like a Lil Wayne thing, and I've always associated them. Or like at first I thought he was like kind of a very heavily influenced by Lil Wayne, but now I think he's obviously got it. He's like one of the most unique rappers.
I mean, I remember when I first heard Danny Glover, that song that he did, I was like, oh, this is fucking, it was interesting.
Yeah.
Like it was so different, and I was like, this is someone who clearly just has their own vibe.
Yeah.
And they're just like staying true to it. Which
that's what they want to do.
Yeah. I think it's a good thing.
He like changes his voice up so much on tracks, which I also love. Like, no rappers really do that. Like, he'll be like doing the, and then he'll be like, there's a part on this song called Family Don't Matter, which also has some very stupid lyrics. Like, I'm with the stars all day, babysit your dog all day. Like, and it's like, what are you talking about?
Hey,
but he's like, Family Don't Matter. It's like, why does that make, like, why does babysitting somebody's dog make it seem like family doesn't matter? But anyway, in that verse, he has a verse on there where he just plays this character named Country Billy. He just goes, Country Billy made a couple milli, trying to park the Rolls Royce outside the Piccadilly. And it's like, what? He's just rapping as somebody else.
I love it. He's and like, now to know that if that story is true, that he's just like randomly drawing some stuff, it's like, all right, I think I got it.
Yeah.
Just like hopping in the booth with that.
You can definitely listen to the song and go, he's freestyling this. Like, there's no way this is written.
Right.
It's too all
stream
over the
consciousness,
place. Yeah, it's too streaming consciousness. But also, if he is freestyling that stuff, it is amazing.
He's like the Toni Morrison's beloved.
So I think he's underrated because I think people loop him in to, although I will say people are giving him a little bit more respect now that we have like even worse mumble rappers like Lil Pump.
Right.
Like, I think people are like, oh no, Young Thug he's one of the originals. Like,
I think that's happening all over culture, right? Like, there's people that are so fucking bad now that people who were normally shitty were like, oh yeah, that.
Like
that
Donald
Lindsay,
Trump.
That Lindsey Graham isn't too bad
George
now.
W. Bush.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What's a song to start with?
A song to start with Young Thug?
Yeah.
Let's go with Beautiful Thugger Girls. I want you to listen to Relationship.
Relationship.
It was one of the singles off the album.
All right.
And it is with Future.
Okay.
You probably know it. It's pop. It's, you know that song. It's popular right now. It's Relationship by Young Thug featuring Future. It's off Beautiful Thugger Girls. There's also another song on this album called You Said, and he's just like, the song starts off with him lyrically like accosting somebody. I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but him accosting them saying like, yo, so what was all that slick talking you were saying to me over there? Like, or, like basically like, and then the song goes into like what that person said they would do. But the lyrics are, you said you would fuck me to death. I believed you. You said that. Like, you said you're going to do me the worst. I remember you went and you said that. You said you're going to kiss from my neck to my chest to my navel and dick and nuts. And I'm like, this. He didn't write this. He couldn't have written
Right.
Like,
right.
Matter of fact, do I still get to pick a song for the end?
Yeah.
That's not going to be it. It's going to be a surprise.
All right. Well, okay. Stay tuned.
All right. We're going to get into format. We're trying to take a sample of the ideas that are out there changing the world. We talk about pop culture, the news, the president at times. We're trying to take a temperature of the global shared consciousness. Miles, what is our temperature today?
I think we're steady. We're still steady. It's a new year. Right. Well, actually, no. Wait, hold on. What am I saying? Fucking Donald Trump kind of turned the knob last night. So, yeah, we're maybe like 99.
Right.
Yeah.
And we like to start out by asking our guest for a myth, something that the national shared consciousness believes to be true that is actually bullshit. Carl, do you have a myth?
My myth is that Taco Bell Baja Blast is only sold at Taco Bell to drive more traffic to Taco Bell.
Whoa. That's,
okay. So your conspiracy is that they're
selling it exclusively at Taco Bell. Because that's the only place you can get it, and that's why people are going to Taco Bell, just for the Baja Blast.
Mm-hmm. Even though Taco Bell is delicious.
Taco Bell is delicious. That. Do you like Baja Blast?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Baja
Blast. And honestly, I can't.
That's so quick.
I can't go to Taco Bell. You know, I'm trying to cut out the fast food and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't go to Taco Bell and not get a Baja Blast. And so I'm also trying to cut out soda.
Right.
Like, soda's like that X. For me, it's like soda's like that X that can text you anytime, like, hey, big
and you
head,
crumble.
And you crumble. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you be strong. You know she's not good for you.
What do you think Baja Blast actually tastes like? Because I remember when it first came out, I'm like, okay, cool. It's like a light blue turquoise Mountain Dew. Mm-hmm. But I can never actually quite pinpoint my like, put my finger on, like, what these flavors are aside from, like, sweet berry adjacent soda.
Yeah, they're not as much flavors as they are emotions. I don't know what it tastes like.
Pure joy.
It just fucking tastes good.
Alegría. It's the same color as, like, when you go to a miniature golf course and they have that, like, blue water.
Lagoon, yeah. Or Barbicide.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Barbicide.
Yeah. Maybe that's what that tastes like. Your barber,
it's like tropical water.
Your barber tried to get you, like do the jug. Like, you want to taste it? Like, like, my barber used to do that. Like, have a sip. And it was like, I bet you he was probably, that's my myth, because what I said wasn't a myth.
Your myth is that Barbicide doesn't
my
taste
myth
good.
Is that
Barbicide is
every time barbers try to get you to taste Barbicide, they weren't trying to poison you. They were trying to let you experience Baja Blast. That's what the combs said in.
Right, so Pepsi-Cola, they had a real crazy, their campaign was to basically put Baja Blast all over the country as a precursor to get people hooked on Baja Blast.
And they were like, they went into barbershops and they were like, hey, soak your combs in this chemical mixture.
Right.
It'll kill the germs on the combs. Also, let little kids drink it. And they'll think it's a bit and everybody will have a laugh and it'll be fun. Like, you sure you want to taste? Then they used to say that barbers used to drink that stuff like when they were alcoholics.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it like,
I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like that's like a joke you would hear.
Also, Baja Blast, Barbicide, two prominent B sounds.
Yeah.
It's
Barbicide, Baja Blast.
I think we're onto something.
What up, blood?
all right. We're going to get into the stories of the day. Justin Timberlake has a new album coming out. And there's this article in a outlet called The Outline. That's titled Justin Timberlake is rebranding as a white man. so all the promotional photos for this are him in cowboy hats, like walking in the woods. It looks kind of like one of those like rustic Levi's commercials. And they're sort of associating this with a overall trend, that they're seeing. Like Miley Cyrus had her big, run of appropriation. And then last year, apparently, she released a country pop album where she was wearing her, like, cowboy hat all over the place.
Yeah.
And Lady Gaga released a more, like, stripped-down, authentic album that was less, like, poppy and more, like, piano music. And she was wearing a cowboy hat. So there's, like, something with this cowboy culture, like, being seen as more authentic for white artists.
Mm-hmm.
And I had actually just read a really interesting run on Twitter from Robin Panaccia. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. She's a writer for Wonkette. And she talks about how there's this like big conspiracy. We had actually written about it, Cracked, but I totally forgot about it. About how, so in the early 20th century, Henry Ford, one of the wealthiest, crazy anti-Semite racists to ever have just all the money in the world, decided he wanted to launch a campaign to give white people a type of music and dancing. Because he was worried about the influence of jazz and R&B.
Which he had an interesting name for that, right?
Yeah, he called it like jungle music with like monkey howls or something.
Jungle boogie.
Yeah. And so he actually like started a campaign where he tried to make square dancing popular. Like he basically invented square dancing. It's only like 40, 50 years old. And like started paying schools to put it in their PE curriculum.
Yeah.
Did you take square dancing in PE?
No. I did. I didn't take it. I remember it was one day and like they brought out a fucking record player.
Yeah.
That's why one of my memories, because I was like 7 years old.
Yeah.
I'm like, a fucking record player?
Yeah.
And then it was like playing some like weird thing, and we were all confused, like, this is not
that
sports.
That was part of my education, yeah. But for, like, 2 days in gym class, you had to, like, square dance, and, like, nobody enjoyed it. Like, it didn't really accomplish anything. But so the reason for that was all part of this conspiracy by a racist, Henry Ford, the car manufacturer, because he thought that, like, jazz was a Jewish conspiracy to make black music popular. And so I don't know. It's just interesting that we're associating, you know, cowboy hats and, you know, country music, which also was not originally white music.
Yeah, right.
That was a campaign by him to sort of make it. He basically backed the type of country music that was more associated with white people and back like white country artists. But it was an actual conspiracy to make white people like country music, and it worked, apparently.
We didn't have the square dance in elementary school, but we did the electric slide.
That's pretty
MPE
cool.
One day. That was fun. Coach Pat. Shout out to Coach Pat. Central Elementary School, Pascagoula, Mississippi. We did the you also misspoke. You said that square dancing is only 40 years old. You got to remember, this 2018, y'all. 40 years ago was 1978.
Yeah, okay. So 60 something years
I
ago.
I think jungle music had taken over by that time. It wasn't nothing they could do at that point.
It's too late.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see what this album is like. I mean, it still has like Pharrell is in the like teaser video for it. So it's clearly going to have like, I know Justin can't totally abandon his formula because, you know, there are people who still like want the, you know, the R&B version of Justin Timberlake. But yeah, the visuals are very like, I don't know if like this is supposed to be his like Lemonade or something. I don't know why it was like so dramatic with him, like, you know, it's like gladiator style, him touching the wheat in the field, like with the snow. Rays of sun coming through.
What if Pharrell was one of the horses?
Jesus.
I'm bringing sexy bang.
Yeah, exactly. Let's hope not.
That's not a new thing though, man. You know, like, I think white people love black shit until white people do black shit. I don't know. I feel like Vanilla Ice, I don't know. I'm not going to speak on that because I was barely born. But Miley Cyrus has done it. Justin Timberlake is doing it.
Right.
Like Lady Gaga.
Oh, yeah. It's not
like
new.
It's like they go like they're trying to say, like, I was lost before when I was making all those millions of money. But now I'm found, and I found my roots. And Miley Cyrus even took it a step further. I doubt Justin Timberlake would do this because he already got an asterisk by his name with black people because of what he did to Janet Jackson.
Right.
But Miley Cyrus even was like, hip hop is bad. And it's negative.
Yeah, she really went in the other
way. Motherfucker, like, you had some of the songs. Like,
you were fucking Mike Will.
Yeah.
Be real. And you're like, I'm in the club with Mike J's on.
Yeah. Right. My homegirl Leanna was one of those girls with the big butts dancing for her.
Like, oh, really?
We went to high school together. Like, that's my friend. Like, she was a part of that twerk crew that.
Oh, that everyone was like, oh, look at your black female props.
Exactly.
That you have on
stage.
I mean, even when she was doing it, it was like,
people were like,
super problematic.
The
it was just
this?
Like, you could tell she wasn't like regarding it in the right way.
Yeah.
No.
But yeah, it's true because think about like, what? Remember Everlast? Wasn't he in House of Pain?
Yeah.
And then he was like, then Whitey Four sings the blues.
Then you really know what it's like.
It's like, I guess the pendulum does swing the other way sometimes.
Yarling that
because they know what pop culture is, man. Popular culture, hip hop culture is popular culture, and it has been since I would say probably the mid to late 90s.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It's crazy how
I would wager to say like the early 2000s when it really like,
yeah.
Because like to me, like when Get Rich or Die Trying came out,
yeah,
that's when I was surprised at how many people were like, yo man, I fuck with 50 Cent. Yeah. And I was like, what?
You okay. Know what song is like the ultimate like white dude song that I don't even know the lyrics to? Forgot About Dre.
Oh.
I don't know the lyrics to that song. I don't know how it goes. I just know the hook.
Right, right.
But all of my white male friends know all the lyrics to Forgot About Dre. Yeah. Jack, do you know all the lyrics?
I know most of the lyrics. Yeah. Forgot About Dre. Yeah. That's like my favorite song, Carl.
That's okay, so maybe I believe you. That can be the year right there. 2001, when Forgot About Dre came out.
That was when it...
That's it. That was when hip hop culture became.
Yeah, because I guess also Eminem, yeah. I think he really mainstreamed hip hop for a lot of white people.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. This kind of brings back to our overrated, because it does seem like there are some average ass rappers who get very successful because they're white people.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's just as many mediocre black rappers too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, but.
But it's we can be mediocre. Rap is the one thing that black people can be mediocre at. Everything else we gotta be great at. You gotta be LeBron in the NBA. Right. You gotta be Cam Newton in the NFL. But you can be Kodak Black in hip hop.
You can be Takeoff.
You can be
from Migos.
Takeoff is tight.
Is he your favorite? I think he's the weakest one.
He's not. He's not, I promise you. Listen to his catalog. Listen to Takeoff Essentials on Apple Music. Or wherever you get your music.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's no Takeoff Essentials, but there is a list of like songs that he is the feature rapper on.
Right.
He's tight. And it's just a different, like, he raps like Offset, except
Offset.
Like, Offset is like records on records. I got it. Like, and then Takeoff is, oh, it's over there. That's a different, it's typical. Like, it's a different tone, different cadence. I like them.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then the other big pop culture news from last night is that Hoda is the new Matt.
Hold up.
Hey.
Kobe.
Kobe.
How do you say your last name?
It's Kobe.
Kobe?
Kotb.
Kotb.
Hoda
Kotb was officially named as Matt Lauer's replacement, which is great news. But then this was immediately overshadowed by the fact that I think the Hollywood Reporter got a scoop on what Matt Lauer was making and what the new hosts. Like, this is the first time that the Today Show or any, I think, morning show has been two female hosts. And both female hosts are making a combined...
$14 million, I think?
Yep.
Reportedly. So, yeah, these are from an insider. We don't know if these are 100% true, but the two of them, they're making about $7 million apiece.
Yeah. It's from Hollywood Reporter.
What was Matt Lauer making?
$25 million. So, combined, they're still making $11
million. Was he making
less.
$25 just hosting the Today Show?
Yes.
Yeah, that was his
Today
Show.
Okay, well, then pay the ass.
That was his, that was his Today Show. That was the bag he was getting from the Today Show.
Right. Yeah, pay him.
Well, yeah, because it also brings up the story, because in Iceland, they basically made it illegal for there to be a gender pay gap. Like, they legalized equal pay in Iceland, so this shit would not be happening in woke Iceland.
No.
Shout out to them. They literally just said, you will be fined if you are paying men more than you are paying women for the same job.
Yeah.
So, it's already, like, considered one of, like, the most gender equal places, so it's, continuing that trend over there.
People always talk about those... Nordic countries as like being, you know, this thing to aspire to, but they're
pretty homogenous.
Yeah, they're just all white people who are like 3 degrees related to each other and are super racist the second that anybody who doesn't look like them comes into their country.
Hey, but equal pay for
equal pay. Equal pay. I mean, there's nothing saying that we can't take good ideas from them.
Mm-hmm.
Nazi Germany had some of the most progressive smoking laws.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah. What's a progressive smoking law?
They just knew smoking was bad for you before everybody else.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they made it illegal in public. So I'm just saying, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, despite the genocide, they were really looking out for the health of food servers from secondhand smoke.
Yeah. You could actually hear everybody backing away from me when I just said that.
Yeah. You could hear all the wheels go.
I'm outside.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Where are we going?
And we're back. So Donald Trump is back in the news. Not
you
totally
don't
surprisingly.
Say.
Yeah. So there's a couple things we wanted to talk about. One is a conspiracy theory that our J.M. McNabb found, I guess, in the New York Times, a publication called the New York Times.
Never heard of it.
Where, so Donald Trump, one of the things that his fake physical, where his doctor was like, he's the healthiest person I've ever seen, like definitely written in Trump's handwriting, admitted that he is on Propecia, which is like the hair loss drug that I guess has some sexual side effects. It also apparently causes chronic depression and brain fog. I guess doesn't cause it, but that's one
Those
of the
side
potential
effects.
Side effects, which when you think about how many times Trump tweets end with the word sad or just the word brain fog and how much he completely embodies that phrase, I don't know. It's you start to wonder whether that's related or whether that could be at least a contributing factor.
Also, when you look at that tweet yesterday at Kim Jong-un, like literally basically pulling his dick out and being like at the end, like my button works like that.
Right.
He's legitimately talking. I don't know how much clearer he had to be that he's like, yo, I'm impotent.
Right.
And I'm losing my mind, and I'm also willing to kill us all,
right.
Like, in the process.
He ain't got that much life left to live, so he probably really
I mean, on that diet,
sure.
Who knows?
That's what you would think.
That's what you think.
Yeah. I mean, it also, so the way that this drug started out was as a prostate drug. It, like, treated people's enlarged prostates, and they just noticed that those people tended to keep their hair, and they first found it because there was a town in Dominican Republic.
Portland.
Known as Portland, where this doctor had heard that little girls turn into teenage boys. And they were like, well, that seems strange. And so they went down and looked at it. And it was actually little boys, people who were born boys, but they had like tiny micro penises that like you couldn't see. So they assumed they were little girls. And then at a certain point, like when they hit puberty, they turned into boys. But it was because the thing that this drug blocks was missing in these people. And that's how they discovered that you could like basically take this chemical out of older men and stop them from losing hair. But it is like a micro dick related thing. So it is interesting that Trump immediately starts tweeting about how big his button is. His button is bigger and it actually works. It's just a very strange turn of phrase.
Called it a button, though.
Yeah. That's not good.
My button works. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
He was talking about the detonator button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was also talking about his
nuclear button.
I got a big old meshy thing on my desk.
Exactly.
It's big. It's falling off. My desk is so big. And I push it. You have to punch it.
Right.
You can't just touch it.
Got to drop a 50-pound weight on it.
Yeah.
But, this is part of a larger trend of there's a article from the New Yorker that's talking about how China is viewing him and our country by extension, and it's not very reassuring. He
wasn't the article just all the laughing cry face emojis?
Yes. It was just 3 pages of that in a line. So it talks about how at first they were, and I think this is actually a good sort of description of how everybody viewed him. At first they were like, wow, he really pulled it off. He must be secretly like a genius.
Brilliant.
And they were like really, you know, worried. They thought he was going to, you know, take it to them. And then they met with him. That Mar-a-Lago visit where Trump came out and was like, I think she likes me.
Was that the chocolate cake time?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a chocolate lovely cake chocolate meeting. Cake.
And his response after the meme was, I think he likes me. I think so. Maybe he hates me, but I think he likes me. It was like, what the fuck, man? Why are you so sweaty?
You can't pull up to like a sit down with that
right.
kind of energy.
And the, Xi Jinping left the meeting being like, wow, he like takes everything literally. He doesn't
really.
Like, yeah, they were like,
he's like, I got these fortune cookies for everyone in
right.
honor of you, Xi Jinping.
They were just like taken aback by how like simple minded and like how simple his view of Asia was, like how little he knew, and like the fact that he came out of the meeting and was like, wow, this North Korea thing is really complicated. They were like, What, you didn't know that?
I feel like there's been an article like that for everything, right? Like there was, like he was like, wow, health insurance is actually pretty complicated.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
This immigration thing's pretty complicated. Like, right. What the fuck did he think?
Right.
I think that's what appealed to so many people. Why they voted, because he's a simple,
Yeah, well, at least it's
like
relatable.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah. This shit is, this is complicated.
It's like, yeah, but we've been trying to tell you that for years. And they go, we ain't want to listen to you.
Right. 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 Yeah. And I mean, it's very easy to identify with. I certainly didn't know how complicated all that shit was.
Backs away from Jack again.
I'm outside.
I totally identify with Trump and his views. I've always said that. But so they're now viewing the Trump presidency as like a huge opportunity to become the leader on the world stage.
Yeah, because we're asleep.
Yeah. Essentially, and it's sort of a national mood that's like sweeping through. This past summer, they had their most successful movie in the history of Chinese cinema, and it's just like a action movie. It was actually part two of the franchise. It's similar to have you guys seen Rambo 2?
No.
Okay. So
no.
Rambo 1 was like a decent-sized hit. Rambo 2 was this monster hit, and it was like – because it like in it Rambo went back and won the Vietnam War, like
he goes back to Vietnam.
And like just defeats the entire Vietnamese army, like North Vietnamese army, by himself. And so it was like clearly like dealing with a wound that America had
in their
unconscious, and like so it became like five times as successful as the first one. And this seems like a similar thing. This is a sequel to a just a standard action movie that became their most successful movie ever. And its climax is this Chinese action star beating an American to death. it's about China taking a bigger role on the national stage. They're like he goes into, I think it's an African nation, where there's like a uprising where they're trying to kill, you know, diplomats on the ground there. Mm-hmm. And they make a point of like they one of the people they're saving is counting on the Americans to come through and save them. And
wow.
Like they call the American consulate and it's closed. Like that's like a big plot
wild.
Point. So like
it's
everyone
closed.
In China was like, fuck yeah. They're like super excited about this.
I hope when they get to the American consulate. And it's closed, like they're ringing the phone, and you cut inside of it, and all it is just like a black dude with headphones on mopping the floor, and he can't hear the phone ringing.
Please open up. I need to get in. Please, I'm American citizen.
He's just like whistling to himself. I be stroking.
Well, that's interesting because, like, also China's been like they've been way more active in Africa than the U.S. too, like investing, building infrastructure. Like, you know, China's definitely. They know that America is asleep at the wheel, and now is a better time than ever to kind of reestablish, or not reestablish, but fully establish themselves as like a leader, because that's already kind of happening.
It is.
Especially with like they're being like somehow the leaders on climate change and other shit too. Like, we've sort of I don't know, abandoned the throne,
right? And they're because they're smart and diplomatic about things. They're not like openly coming out and being like, ha ha, fuck you, America. Like, you're fucking up. They're just quietly like taking over power. And then behind closed doors, this article says they're like acknowledging like China is now the new monolithic power.
But this was also being predicted by like economists since like the 80s, right? Like, you know, like that by this time that like China would be the world's biggest power like by 2020.
It's still pretty lopsided when you look at like the size of the economy.
Right.
Like America
okay.
is still way bigger. And this is speeding up a shift that people were seeing happening.
Right, right.
I had always read that China was eventually going to take over and it was inevitable. But when you actually look at the demographics, the reason China is having this like huge juggernaut economy is because of the one child policy.
Right.
And like basically the way their demographics stack out is that they have like a great what's called dependency ratio, where they have way more working age people than they have retired and like babies.
Right.
And that's usually helps an economy. Like that's almost a single indicator that you can see how successful a nation's economy.
Because our dependency ratio is not that great, right?
Our dependency ratio was great.
Was
great for a number of years because the baby boom was moving from 18 to 65. So the baby boom was moving through working age. And when you have a huge like glut of people who are working through that age, you're going to have a lot of economic success. the Chinese are just coming to the end of having the people who were the parents of the one child generation going through that stage. So they had like an artificially really strong dependency ratio, but now they're coming into the part where the working age people are the one child generation.
Right, right, right.
So they're going to have an artificially low, like an artificially bad dependency ratio. So it could go either way, but this is certainly not helping. And I don't know. With the North Korea stuff, it just seems like America's standing in the world. Like there's been a war of tweets that we were referring to earlier with the button thing. But, you know, it just seems so clear now that, you know, people were always like, Trump's playing chess and everyone else is playing checkers.
Yo, not even that. 4D chess, my man, if you're on some certain subreddits.
But so Kim Jong-un is driving a wedge between South Korea and the U.S. by like opening up relations and like opening up communication with between North Korea and South Korea. And Trump is responding to that by like bragging about the size of his button.
Right.
And, like how much his button works.
Yeah, because I know like with like North Korea, they're looking at it like, yo, if we can get America out of the picture, then we can just figure out our own reunification thing. I know Kim Jong-un in his mind thinks if America's out of the picture that he can somehow unite both Koreas and somehow Pyongyang can rule over both, which is a bit of a long shot. But at the very least, I think South Koreans also see a way of like having like a federation
right.
while keeping their like total unification agenda at bay.
A lot of our stick with like our carrot and stick with North Korea is like sanction based, and sanctions only work if you can get everybody else in the world to agree to like withhold. And so if he's, you know, striking up a relationship with South Korea and, you know, having a strong relationship with China, then America's not going to have any ability to negotiate.
Yeah, and I think as a country, we have a track record of showing, like, we really don't do shit when North Korea acts up. Like, they took the USS Pueblo, what, in, like, 1968, didn't do shit.
Right.
And all we do now are just, like, sanctions that China undermines. Who knows? I think maybe that's why they may look at Trump a bit differently, because he's just so erratic. But if you look at sort of, like, the history of, like, you know, what the U.S. response is to, like, North Korean provocations, it's typically just sort of sanctions that can be worked around or undermined.
Yeah. And this is kind of part of an overall trend where, I don't know, I've been struggling with this thing where I worry I'm underestimating Trump because I did during the election. But I don't know. And you still see that, like, in the comment sections of an article where Trump does something stupid, if it's not, like, on the New York Times, if it's a place where, you know, there are right-wing people, or Trump's like made his career off of like people underestimating him and, you know, just assuming that he has like a long game that he's playing. And I don't know, there's an article about the 68 election and how, you know, America has a long history of overreading election results. And, you know, we just like really focus in on elections as being these hugely significant things. And I don't know. I think that might be what I'm doing. And when you look at there's a Politico article called Donald Trump's Year of Living Dangerously, where they just talk about how basically everybody on his staff is just like China, sort of gave him the benefit of the doubt at first and now are just sort of taken aback and are like finding ways to, you know, work around him and keep him isolated from any really consequential decisions. So it seems like the only people who are still left in the camp of, nah, just let's see where he's going with this, he probably has a plan, are, you know, his supporters. And even the people who, like, work with him and for him are just like, all right, let's find a way to, you know, baby-proof this house.
Who was tweeting? Someone did a Tom Arnold tweeted yesterday that, like, they should just make a fake White House set and gaslight him into thinking he's the president still. And just like let him exist in like this fake ass reality show.
We were talking about this before. We were saying like we might get him to step down if we just like made like a huge statue monument of him.
Right.
Like hella buff.
Right.
Like just
with
like
a big ass penis.
Big ass dick. Like
erect with like long ass hair.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
With like a bunch of like girls like hanging off of it. You know?
Right.
And they're all like and they move like they swing on it.
Yeah.
Like. He might be like, okay, I'll step down.
Yeah,
right.
Like, I've got what I needed.
I've got what I needed. I got what I wanted. I'm the king of America. I'm going to step down.
Yo, maybe that's all they need to do is make a fake-ass crown and be like, hey, actually, we upgraded you to king of America.
Right.
So, you know, you can just chill now and play golf because you're the king.
Something about this seems fishy, but I like the crowd. I'll take
but
it.
But I love a Filet-O-Fish. So.
I'm just trying to think of what girls should be on that statue. I'm thinking Kristen Stewart because he had that like big run where he was like, you know, worried about her and Robert Pattinson's relationship. So he clearly has like a weird, or maybe we need Robert Pattinson in a wig like on there because he like clearly had way too much tied up in that relationship. That
I think we all did. You know, we all did.
Right. We're all living and dying with the breaks of that. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with the pop culture roundup. And we're back. We're going to do a quick pop culture roundup about what's coming up in 2018. We were talking about Jordans during the break. Do you guys have anything to say about Jordans or shoe game?
I mean, there's always going to be new shoes coming out, but I think the real stuff is the music.
That's
what we're really about.
Kanye's in the lab.
What's this album called? Like TurboGrafx-16 or some shit?
I don't know, man. I stopped paying attention to like his like placeholder album titles when like
right.
Life of Pablo had like was like Swish, and then it was like something else.
Oh, that's right.
Like,
yeah.
So
I mean, we'll see. I think when we were talking about this yesterday. Like, do you think? Because obviously, Life of Pablo was made at like peak insanity,
right.
Kanye West.
Right.
And I feel like if this was made in his like recovery period, is it going to be the same? Is it have the same energy? Like what? I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Like
with
Pablo
it.
Started out like when it was Swish, he had like those sort of love songs to his wife and his daughter that
right.
were like, you know, kind of pretty but not really like good songs, and the one with Paul McCartney and shit
was like,
pretty
ooh.
Whack. So I don't know. That seemed like
seconds.
he was too happy to make good music at that point. So I don't know. Like now that he's in recovery and no longer on drugs,
he was on drugs.
I don't know, or maybe not drugs, but he was up for like a month straight
for
without
a long
sleeping.
Time. We don't know why.
Oh,
we don't know how.
Yeah, but then he started getting recovery, got fat.
Right.
Yeah, and they're like, "Yeah, just sleep a little bit." You
right.
know? Like,
yeah.
Chill the fuck out.
Yeah, he's in a period of recovery. I definitely don't know if it's drug use or whatever from just like his insane schedule when he was making Pablo and then doing the Pablo tour and, you know, releasing his fashion line. He seems like he took a breather, and I don't know, has he ever taken a breather before? This is kind of new territory.
I mean,
for
he
him.
Always kind of. It ebbs and flows with him.
Right.
You know, he's like so in your face for a long time, and then he fades to the back and then
but
comes back.
Like, I personally love Pablo, and that was like at the peak of his like manicness. So I don't know. What do you guys think? What's your favorite Kanye album?
Favorite Kanye album? I had College Dropout on CD that I listened to. That was my plane CD
because
I didn't really listen. I didn't really walk around with a CD player
in
2003
because
they were a little late. At that point.
Right.
But my mom was like, "You don't need no damn iPod. You got the CD."
Right.
But yeah, that was my playing CD. Anytime I traveled, I listened to that all the way through. I really enjoyed that. But I think Late Registration is probably my favorite.
Late Registration is the second one, right?
Yeah. It's like Diamonds Are Forever. And,
yeah.
Wait, which one was Drive Slow on? Graduation?
That Late Registration.
Okay. Yeah, I really enjoyed that one. Graduation was also very good. That one came out. That was my freshman year of college, and we really bumped that in Ohio. Shout out to Wilberforce University.
That is a very controversial one. I like basically all of them, but like some people hate Graduation. Like I've definitely heard.
I just don't like 808s and Heartbreaks.
Favorite. I've heard people say it's their favorite, and then people who like think it's his.
I think 808s is the more divisive one. Like that really. Some people I don't know why are like
cult following.
Oh my god, it's like the greatest.
I really enjoy RoboCop. That song was fun on there.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed. They played the shit out of In the Night I Hear.
Right.
He has like a couple great pop songs on that. They're not even like.
Yeah, they're not really like Kanye songs. But anyway, yeah. We'll see. But also, I think like, who else? Drake. There have been a lot of weird
Drake's
snippet.
Got an album coming out.
Like little Drake snippets leaking.
So can't wait for that.
What he has.
Drake is my guy.
Because he always
your guy?
Comes with
yeah.
Drake's your LeBron in the music world?
No, my favorite. Well, you know what? Drake. No, Drake's not my LeBron. Because Shaq was my favorite player growing up.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
then
okay.
LeBron came out, and I was like, oh, this is my guy. So I would say if, like, Shaq is to Andre 3000.
Oh.
Okay.
What for me. And LeBron is, I guess it's got to be Drake.
Drake?
Yeah.
Right.
I think Drake is my, Drake is, oh, no, Kendrick. I'm tripping.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Kendrick is my new favorite.
Okay. Got you.
Like, guy. Like, but I love Drake's music.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, he makes good, you know, he makes fun party music.
Ooh, my top right. five is weird, though.
Your top five
hip-hop
artists?
Artists, yeah. So I definitely got Andre, Kendrick, Drake, Juvenile, and I don't even know. I can't remember who I said.
Juvenile's unexpected after those first
Yeah.
Dude, Juvie is my boy.
Yeah.
From way back. Okay. I got that fire.
Uh-huh. That Oscar Mayer?
Yeah. Come on, I let a play if you want that Oscar Mayer.
Who else? Oh, Toon Yards has another album. I really like Toon Yards.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I think Meryl's like a insane creator.
No water on the water fountain.
Yeah, I think you know, she's just a beast on that looping pedal and just like a very talented musician. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a dope album to come out too.
Vampire Weekend's got an album coming out, so you know us white people are excited about that.
Okay, okay,
yeah.
Oh, and also, I mean, more importantly, like the real sequel that everyone's talking about, Bright 2, is happening. Did you see Bright, Carl?
Nah, dog. Watching that bullshit.
Yeah, it was so fucking bad that I had to finish it.
Just from the ads and that damn music video where
the music video is absurd.
When they hand Machine Gun Kelly that plate at the cookout.
Thank you.
And, I'm like, yo, and then what the fuck is this?
Eating a fucking fried chicken drumstick. Oh, that was like the first bite he takes. Like, bring this chicken to my mouth.
Bring chicken to my mouth. We all the same. Or whatever they talk about. I don't know. I actually like MGK. Like, I like him.
Right.
But that video was trash. Also, nothing about the ads. I'm still, for the life of me, trying to figure out how they got Will Smith. They must have threw $1 billion. I think Netflix is going to change his name to Fresh Prince next year. Like, this year. Because how did you get him to be in this movie?
Right. I think, I mean, also, like, they just came out with some of, like, the stats. They said, like, 11 million people watched Bright when it came out. So that's pretty significant. I guess even if people did, like, hate watch it. But that's wild that even 11 million people bothered to watch
the racial allegory in that shit
is fucking wacky.
It's insane.
Fuck.
Yeah.
It's racist. The allegory is terrible. They did let the writer Max Landis go. Some would think it's because it was a terrible script, but apparently there were sexual assault allegations coming out about him, and there's suggestions that there's like a big cover-up campaign involving his dad and just all sorts of problematic things. So I had heard that he was like a really shitty guy, but I didn't know there were public allegations about him. So it's good to see that people are kind of
I want to read you
him.
Guys an excerpt from a Facebook message that was being passed around on Twitter from Max Landis, and he says something very funny in it. He says he's talking about one of his friends that he's cutting off. He's cutting off a friend in this message. Uh-huh. And that friend that got cut off posted it. And he goes, "Keep in mind, Tiku has in the past been nothing but very, very rude to both me and my friends. I know that you enjoy him for your own reasons, but I do not like him. And if he's sitting on the couch talking to my ex-girlfriend, who's already being a prat to me, I think he means brat, because I won't kiss her, then yes, there's a strong chance that the Bacardi Hurricanes and Smirnoff Strawberries will have a nigga unloading on his skinny ass."
What? He said that?
He said that in a message.
Max Landis?
I turned a flip in my bed.
Wow. All right, Max Landis, don't let us catch you in the street, my man.
But I think, hold on, like, read that, how he said it. The Bacardi Hurricanes have on a nigga's ass, like, unloading on a nigga's ass. He meant that in a G way.
Yes.
Like, that ain't an ER.
But you know this.
Yeah.
I doubt that I'll be talking to you very much in the future or ever again, but I want you to be vibrantly aware of the fact that I do not dislike you beyond these recent actions. Wow, he's a weird cat, man.
He's a weird cat. He Max Landis, on Facebook.
We had to kick him out of the cracked forums many years ago.
Yeah, so we know.
There's also apparently a very terrible interview. Super producer Anna Hosnier is now letting us know there's a terrible interview Max Landis did about sex. They're coming for him right now, as you can hear the sirens in the background.
Mm-hmm. They're sending the fire brigade.
But, so we'll talk about this further probably, because it seems like there's a lot more to the story. But also, he wrote a terrible, terrible script. A racial allegory that is among the most racist, misguided things that's ever been put to film. So, fuck Max Landis, I guess. And we were going to talk about the movies coming up, but we're out of time. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Carl, it's been a goddamn pleasure having you. Listen to Culture Kings, which is coming out when?
They done fucked up and gave me a podcast. Episode 0 drops today, apparently. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to it.
Whatever you do.
Whatever you do, don't listen to it.
And episode zero is like a preview episode, right?
It's a preview episode that Anna made me do 14 times. Don't listen to it. But okay. if you must.
It's actually very funny. People should listen to it and go subscribe because it is, you know, it's the first show we're putting out as part of our like comedy division of the How Stuff Works Network. And I couldn't be happier about the show. It's three just funny fucking dudes. That was a terrible blurb. But
look, I mean, I'll say this to you guys. Don't be taking what we say as serious as you take what Miles and Jack say, because we don't be reading. I be sitting here when I do this show, this is the second time y'all have had me, and I'm very grateful for it. And I just want to say, these dudes are smart, man. I'm not like them. The last thing I read was the autobiography of Gucci Mane. It's my favorite. It's my new favorite novel of 2018. It's my favorite novel of 2017 because the only novel I've read. And I just be talking shit, but some of y'all may relate to that.
Oh, like, yeah. I think everyone does. Everyone does.
Friday's my birthday.
Hey, happy birthday, Carl.
I'm going to be old as dirt, 29.
Ooh. Yeah, so old.
And I need a girlfriend.
Still alive.
Slide my DMs, ladies.
You need a girlfriend.
I need a girlfriend. It's time to get married.
Where can people follow you on Twitter?
At Dammit Carl, DammitCarl, all things social. Follow me on Twitter for a bunch of ratchet bullshit I retweet. And follow me on Instagram if you want that Oscar Mayer.
Miles, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
You can follow me on Twitter only at Jack_O'Brien. Keep the AKs coming. You guys are killing it. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page. You know how that works. Just search the name of the show on Facebook if you want to be our fan there. And we have a webpage, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post all of our episodes as well as footnotes, where we link off to articles and sources for all of the shit we're talking about, so you know we're not making it up. And that's going to do it for today. But before we go, we have a song recommendation from Carl, and I want to remind you guys to get on Apple Podcasts and rate and review us. We're really appreciating it. We are going to read your reviews, and if you post a funny one, screen cap it or tweet it at us, and we will read it on air and shout you out. But Carl, let's get a song recommendation from you.
I'm gonna do this like a radio DJ, like I do every time.
Go ahead.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, right now it's the new year. Happy 2018. I hope everybody is blessed this year. I got a song recommendation for you. Earlier in the show, I was talking about my boy Young Thug, who might be taking the fifth spot on my top five. That fact check required. Asterisk by that. This is a song he did with an English music producer named Jamie XX, and it's called I Know There's Gonna Be Good Times.
That
shit is dope. He samples a great like gospel song from the 1950s. Is a really dope song. It's featuring Young Thug and Popcorn, and it's dope. It's from 3 years ago, but we making it the anthem of this year because I know there's gonna be good times in 2018. So check that out. I Know There's Gonna Be Good Times by Jamie XX featuring Young Thug and Popcorn.
Running up out of money, I know. Good times, good times. Good times, it's gonna be some good times. Man, we used to pull up and let them fight at that hood time. Remember, I used to grab on that ass when it was about that wood time. It had a little bit walk up tripping, she get that much time. I don't waste time, I don't waste time. I don't have patience, baby. She gon' get on top of the dick and she gon' squish it like squish. Didn't go fast, she speed racer. We go wild, walk to bedtime. She my boss like on grandson. Come here, play, I'm molested. I let her write me my suggestions. Pop quiz, it's a pop quiz. All my money coming clean, you can't pop this. She got that pussy locked up like Lost Mill. Watch out, come to my lights like a radio. Me and Poppy on the same pills. Diamonds could never stand still. Wait, God can't come here. I'll always take you back.
good time. Come on, a good time with a bad wine. You say you want to give me some long time. Me deal with this thing, no something like crime. I make you see this time. Thugger. Even in the summertime, me and La Shawty cut her. I swear to God, I'ma tell me you don't got to struggle. Baby girl, sit it down, you not known like a usher. Yeah. I told her mama I don't mind what my teeth do. I wanna control you like voodoo. I started screaming free on phone and doo-loo. Every time I have a good time, doo-doo-doo.
Good time, hey. Come on, but good time with somebody fine. You say you want to give me something long time. Me deal with this thing, what's something like crime? I make you see me. Bye.